Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Fly Girl Show. I am your host, Casey Grant, and we are having, as I always say the same thing, I know, this is going to be one of the most fabulous shows ever. I am doing a launch of the International Black Aviation Show, Aviation Day, and this show is going to give you a little insight as to why I do add in the international to this launch. And it is about honoring our black pioneers in aviation and our connection with Europe and Africa. So at this point, my guest today is Gigi Coleman, Tyrone Haymore, Patrick, and we're waiting for these people to join us because Patrick Anakwa is coming in from Ghana. And so we're going to wait for him to come in, but at this point we're going to get the show going. And I will bring in my first guest, and this is Mr. Tyrone Haymore. So good morning, Tyrone. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm sorry. I have the wrong person being brought in. Just a moment. Now I can hear you. Hello, Tyrone. How are you doing today?
Hello, Casey. Fine. Thank you. I'm happy to be with you today.
Thank you. Thank you. So, yes, you're going to bring in, tell everyone who you are and what you represent, who you represent, and will you just give us a little history on John Robinson. So that with that introduction, everyone, I'm going to allow him to speak and tell you this fabulous story of the connection of Europe and America and our black pioneers in aviation.
Well, again, my name is Tyrone Haymore. I'm the historian as well as the executive director of the Robbins History Museum in Robbins, Illinois. Robbins, Illinois is the town where the first black airport ever built in the United States by black people was built. And it was built by two remarkable men, that's John C. Robinson and Cornelius Coffey. I did not ever have the pleasure of meeting Mr. Robinson because he died when I was 7 years old. But I did know Mr. Coffey. Mr. Coffey, I knew him for the last 8 years of his life. And he told me virtually everything about how they started and built the Robbins Airport with John Robinson, Willa Brown, and Janet Bragg as well. So we're proud of that. It is the first black airport that was ever built in the United States by black people back in 1931. Unfortunately, it only was in existence for 3 years when a violent windstorm started in 1933. But they moved there operations to a nearby airport that they rendezvoused with when they were training students how to fly, and that's at the 87th and Harlem Airport in a town that is now called Bridgeview, Illinois. At that time, it was an unincorporated area, and sometimes they refer to it as Oak Lawn, Illinois. But the town is now called Bridgeview, Illinois, and that airport as of 1968, is no longer exists also. But John Robinson left Robbins in 1933 and went to Ethiopia, and he pretty much stayed there for the rest of his life and is buried there.
And is buried there.
I guess my nurse, I can answer any questions related to it.
Well, one of the things that is stated in my book, as my audience knows, I have three books, and Stars and Beyond is the book that I have highlighted so many of our black pioneers. And one of the things that I say to everyone that we had our own black Wright brothers. And Coffey and Robinson, not only did they build a plane, flew their plane that they had built, and overcoming the trials and tribulations that they had in trying to go to an aviation school, which is what they were not allowed to do. And the story is just really interesting as to how they obtained the information, taught themselves how to fly. And I'm going to allow Dahir to add to it, but for the audience, the reason that we are so excited about bringing John Robinson into that, because he was an American aviator, an activist. He was hailed as the Brown Condor for his service in the Imperial Ethiopian Air Force. And so at this point, this is the pride that we have for him in making the connection from it, from Europe to America. And with that, I'm going to bring in Dahir Mohammed and allow him to tell you the rest of the story of his connection with John Robinson. So at this moment, hello there, Dahir. How are you doing?
Hello, Miss Casey. Grant, how are you? How are you? I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
I'm excited to have you on my radio show. You and I have been, you've been very kind and very instrumental in the launch of the International Black Aviation Day, which is February the 16th, and is where we are honoring our black pioneers in aviation. And we're so excited to have your voice and your story from Ethiopia and to help us to have a greater understanding about the connection of the international part of International Black Aviation Day. So thank you, and once again, welcome.
Thank you so much, Ms. Grant. And Mr. Tyrone Heyman, thank you so much for that update on Colonel John C. Robinson. You know, I grew up here in Long Island, but I was born in Ethiopia. And I never heard of John C. Robinson until 3 years ago. And so I read the book, The Brown Condor, and it intrigued me so much, I focused my whole business and life around it and focused a way of picking up the baton where he left off. So as you said, he went to Ethiopia, and he established the Air Force, helped beat Moose helped us fight against Mussolini, and then we ended up getting our independence, and we're still till today the only unconquered or uncolonized country in Africa. And he also started Ethiopian Airlines, which I never knew, and that is where my father comes in. And my father worked for Ethiopian Airlines for over 25 years, and that's how we came to America in 1979 when they opened up an office in New York. So I was 5 years old when I came, and I grew up, came to Queens just like the movie, and then moved to Long Island, and then jumped into the family business about 20 years ago, selling aircraft spare parts over to the African continents, specifically Ethiopian Airlines as well. But once I found out about John C. Robinson, I just put it 6 degrees of separation. It was because of him that I was able to come to America. My father was able to have the live the American dream and give me the opportunity to live the American dream. And right now in aviation, people of color are not being targeted in a lot of the mechanical jobs. Any type of aviation jobs, there's so many. And it's my duty now to take that baton that John C. Robinson designed in Africa and bring Africa to the United States with their capabilities and their FAA-certified technicians to support the maintenance technician crisis that's happening over here in the U.S. So with that, I thank you both. Ms. Grant and Mr. Haymore, John C. Robinson is an idol of mine, and it's something that my kids can't stop hearing about him. I have a 15 and a 12-year-old daughters, both of them, and daughters, and it's the focus of my life that everybody knows the story.
And you said that there was a bronze statue. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because the people are aware in Ethiopia, and I'm sure they do some type of acknowledgement about his were courageous feat to be
Absolutely.
To fly over there, to be able to be accepted into the Ethiopian Air Force, and to have that passion because he believed in what he was fighting for. So he really is a pioneer. So you said there was a statue. Is that correct?
Correct. Ethiopian Airlines has branched off into an Ethiopian group since John C. Robinson started the airline. They started very small. I think it was a 707 jet aircraft first, and then 75, and then expanded into 78s, and now they're the biggest airline in Africa, number four in the world as far as connections. And what they've also developed is an academy, and in front of the academy is a bust of John C. Robinson to say thank you, and they memorialized him. I believe in 1999 or 98, I believe. There's a lot of history in Ethiopian Airlines data of John C. Robinson, a lot of referrals to the Brown Condor and everything that they represent. In America, he's known as one of the pioneers of the Tuskegee Airmen, which I never knew either. A lot of the information, except for the 1995 movie that was out, I never heard anything about Tuskegee Airmen. So I went down to Mississippi, went to where John C. Robinson grew up. I met the writer of the book. I was there for the opening of the museum for John C. Robinson, and now my goal is to start a school named after him with Ethiopian Airlines in Gulfport, Mississippi, named the Brown Condor.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Academy.
Fabulous. I'm sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
That was it. No, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yes. No, that is wonderful. I'm sure that I'm going to bring Tyrone back in because I'm sure he's going to want to add a little bit to it. And at this point, I'm going to bring you both on. I know you're going to have to leave, so I'm just going to give Tyrone an opportunity to maybe say something else to you about your endeavor. But Tyrone and I are going to continue to talk because I want to bring in some more information on Bessie Coleman that he and I will tell the audience about. But Tyrone, is there anything that you would like to say to Tahir before he has to dash? Tyrone? Okay, so let me see. Tyrone?
Hear me?
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sir. I can hear you now. I'm so sorry. Technical difficulties, but I can hear you. Is there anything that you would like to say to hear?
Yes, I've been hearing everything there, and I'm really excited to hear about this statue. I didn't know about that, and I'm anxious to meet Mr. Muhammad since you're here in the state. We definitely need to get together, so please share my phone number with Mr. Muhammad. And or give me his so we can be in touch because there's some things that we need to talk about.
Perfect.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay, well, I know you have to dash, but I really appreciate you taking time and coming in to join this, and we are going to do our best for this International Black Aviation Day. I know that you are spreading the word and the celebration, and I will be back
Absolutely.
In touch with you.
Absolutely.
But
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us
one
today.
One more thing, if you don't mind, it's I bad. That day is so special to me now. That's the focal of what aviation is going to be in the future. And thank you for starting that. Fly Girl, what a name for a radio show. And you need something behind your name, Ms. Grant. And this is a perfect title for you. And thank you very much. And you are a fly girl. And thank you for that. And I hope my daughters grow up to be like you.
Oh, I can't wait to meet them. And thank you so much for the compliment. I tell you, you're in the rah-rah team for me. I really appreciate you. So if you can stay on. I believe that Gigi Coleman is joining us. And so I'm going to bring her in. But if you have to leave, I want to just say thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Gigi. I met you last week as well, and I thank you and your aunt I mean, what a history I'm learning about your family. I'm so sorry I have to shoot off, but I'm going to get a recording of this, and I'm going to get in contact with you as well, please. Thank you so much, both all three of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day. Have a great day.
Happy Valentine's Day. That's right.
Okay, so at this point, I am going to bring in Tyrone. We're going to let you hold off for just a moment, and you're going to be able to add some comments into, I believe this is Gigi joining us. Good morning. This is the Fly Girl Show. Is this Ms. Coleman?
Yes, this is Ms. Coleman. Hello, Mr. Haymore.
Hi, Gigi. Good to hear you.
Hi. Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, as I told my audience, we were waiting for you to come, and so glad you were able to make it. This is the soft launch of the International Black Aviation Day, and the official day is February the 16th. And so we're just giving a little introduction as to why the international is an important component of this launch, because we are celebrated, the Americans and their contributions to aviation is celebrated in Europe, and I didn't know that. And so this is an important thing to me. We do have Ghana and their Aviation Academy that is going to celebrate with us on February the 16th. And at this point, I want my audience to hear your story about your niece and, I mean, your aunt, because you are the great niece, and tell the world about the contribution and how France celebrates Bessie Coleman. So now the floor is yours. Go ahead, Gigi, please.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, everyone. I am the great niece of Bessie Coleman. Bessie Coleman was the first African-American, Native American woman to receive her international pilot license in the world. And over in France, they really treasure and honor Bessie Coleman. They have a street named after her, the mayor of Rue. They have pictures of her in the Credon School Museum. That's where Bessie Coleman received her pilot license, where she went for her training. It's just wonderful over there. They just love my great aunt, and they honor her and cherish her. And people know her name over there.
And why? Tell us why. What is her connection?
Well, her connection is because she was African American, Native American. Her brothers were in World War One, and they went over to France for the war, and they came back teasing Aunt Bessie about the women over in France were doing things. They were flying airplanes and everything. And so that moment, she decided that that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to be an aviatrix. And so she went to all the schools in America, in the United States, and no one would accept her because she was African-American and a woman. And at that time, they felt that black people didn't have the intellect to learn how to fly airplanes. So her mentor, Mr. Robert Abbott, the editor-in-chief publisher of the only black newspaper we had, the Chicago Defender, told her, well, why don't you go to Paris? And that's just what she did. And she received her passport in 1920, and in 1921, she received her international pilot license over in France.
You know, she is an inspiration to me. I, as my audience knows, I flew for 35 years for Delta Airlines. I was not the first, but I was among the first black flight attendant for Delta. So breaking the color barrier and dealing with the trials and tribulations of being among the first, and it was a challenge. And so when I read Bessie's story, to realize someone had that much courage, she didn't speak French. Is that correct?
Yes, she didn't. She had to go to school on Michigan Avenue in Chicago, and she learned French. And I found out when I went over to Paris in August that all the books and everything were in French. So she had to know how to read French, write French, and speak French. And she did it in 10 months.
That is fantastic. She was a manicurist in Chicago, ladies and gentlemen, and not only just having the fortitude to even try to do that, but to challenge and to conquer, to learn how to speak French, read it, and to take a very difficult test in French. Because, you know, when you're learning another language, and as with people learning to speak English, there could be two interpretations of one word. So when you're taking a test like that of that magnitude, she was really a woman to be admired.
Yes, she was. And I really admire her. She opened up the doors for so many people. She even opened up the doors for Amelia Earhart, because she had her got her license in 1923, 2 years after Aunt Bessie. So she opened the doors for everyone.
And we don't know that. And we this is history. This is what my mission is. This is what International Black Aviation Day, and I love to say the acronym is IBAD. I love to say that because these women, these pioneers, these men were actually, I mean, they were just, to have that foresight, to have that dream, and to not allow anyone to discourage them, because we dealt with racism, and we dealt with people not thinking that we were intelligent enough. And as Tyrone said about Coffee and Robinson, and I love, Tyrone, if you would tell the story again, or to tell the story, how Robinson he was a mechanic, first of all, and when he tried to enter the school, how they wouldn't allow him to, and how he did accomplish what he did. So tell that story. I love that.
Okay, yeah, sure. Coffee and Robinson both met in Detroit, where they make automobiles. They were both graduates of auto mechanic school. And it was one. It was the day that Bessie Coleman died. The headlines in Detroit read that Bessie Coleman, the world's first black female pilot, had crashed and died. And that's when these two guys got together and said, well, you know, we both have interest in aviation. Why don't we take up where Bessie Coleman left off? If a woman can fly, don't you think a black man ought to be able to fly? So they, Robinson knew of an aviation school that had just opened in Chicago called the Curtis Wright Aeronautical University, located at 1338-40 South Michigan Avenue. And they said, well, we'll write and make an application to enroll in the school. But when they did that, they headed to Chicago. And when they arrived there to get an answer to their acceptance, they were told that the application was denied because they're African American, they're black. They didn't use African-American those days. They said, we do not accept black people into the school. And disappointed with that, on their way out the door, they were told that their money would be refunded. But on their way out of the door of that building that day, Robinson noticed a bulletin on the wall that where they were looking for a janitor for the school, the aviation school. So he said, I wonder if they hired black people to be janitors. So let me go back to the desk and see if they asked that question. He went back to the desk, and he asked if they let blacks be janitors. Could blacks apply for the janitor job? They say, yes. Here's an application. If you're interested, put in. So, make a long story short, he put in the application, and he got the job. But he knew that if he could just get in that building, into those classrooms, cleaning up the floors, washing the windows, doing whatever he had to do, he can eavesdrop and learn a lot about aviation that way if they refuse to teach him. And he did. One day instead of taking the trash out to the incinerator to be burned, he would collect all the trash and take it home to his apartment and study. And what he did, so one day he found a book in there to show you how you could order a kit and built a small airplane that was called a Heath Parasol for $300, but the engine for that plane cost another $300, which was a total of $600. And back in the 20s, that was equivalent probably to $3,000 or $6,000. That was a lot of money. So they didn't have enough money for the engine, so he said, well, we'll talk about the engine. We'll figure the engine out later, but he said, I'm going to order this kit. We can raise $300. So he had established a auto shop on the south side of Chicago at 43rd Street. And he had guys working there with him. And he ordered the kit, which was, in fact, the plane was made in Chicago too as well. And the kit arrived with a little small plane called a Heath Parasol in there. And they began to open it up, the box open, and began to assemble the plane. once they assembled the plane and got it all together, then they had to figure out the engine. Where, how are they going to raise another $300 to buy the engine? They still didn't have enough money to do that. But Robinson, being a mechanic, an auto mechanic, read the book on the airplane's engine and discovered that the engine for that plane matched up pretty close to the same engine that's in a motorcycle. And he happened to have a motorcycle. He said, I bet you I can pull the motorcycle, the engine out of my motorcycle and make it retrofitted to work in this airplane. And that's exactly what he did. He pulled the engine out of his motorcycle, and he retrofitted it to work in that little small airplane and didn't have to buy the recognized engine for the plane. Now the question is always is, will it fly? That's the true test. Now, they hadn't taught themselves how to fly yet, but they did build this plane. But to find out if they did the plane correctly, Robinson, as a janitor, had befriended some of the instructors at the school. So he invited one instructor out by the name of Mr. Snyder. Mr. Snyder, he invited Mr. Snyder to come out to his garage on 43rd Street to see this airplane that he had built. And, of course, Mr. Snyder was shocked. He couldn't believe that the black built an airplane. He said, what kind of airplane did you build? He said, it's a Heath Parasol. He said, oh, I'm familiar with that plane. You actually put that plane together yourself? You actually read and was able to do it? He said, yeah, come on and see. So Mr. Snyder said, I'm definitely going to come out to your garage and see that. In other words, he really didn't believe that blacks could do that.
Right.
So he showed up at the garage. And he looked at the plane. He said, yes, this is a Heath Parasol. I'm familiar with this plane. He said, the dials look okay. The aileron, the cables look all right. The dials, he said, I'm amazed that you guys actually put this plane together. You're like, you did a good job, too. But it's just one strange thing about it, and that is this engine. He said, this is not the engine that comes with this airplane. He said, this is a rather strange-looking engine. Where did you get this engine from? He said, well, that engine came out of my motorcycle, Mr. Snyder. Your motorcycle? He said, yeah. He said, look at the specification in the book. It matches up very closely, so I retrofitted it to ensure it worked in a plane. He said, well, will it fly? Have you flown yet? He said, no. That's why we got you here. You know how to fly. Why don't you start it up and see if it'll start it up, and maybe you might be convinced to take it out and we get it and see if it'll fly. So sure, he said, well, give me the key. So he put the key in to see if it'll start up. And to his amazement, that little plane started up just the way it was supposed to. The propeller turned. He said, I am really amazed. I am really impressed. He said, well, let's bag it out of this garage and take it over to Washington Park, and let's give it the real test to see if it'll actually fly. So make a long story short, they got the plane out of the garage, took it over to Washington Park in Chicago, and Mr. Snyder got in it. Of course, he was nervous. But he was still impressed. But so he got in the plane, he started the plane up, and he taxied the plane around the ground to get the feel of it to see if it actually has the power to get airborne. And he was convinced that it did. So they said, okay, get it up in the air. Get it up in the air. So he did. He turned off and he got the plane up in the air. The plane flew flawlessly in the air. And it landed with even more precision. And, of course, they pulled out the champagne bottle. They began to celebrate. Everybody was hollering and screaming. And Mr. Snyder was just so impressed. He said, well, I'm sorry they didn't admit you guys to the school, but when I'm going to go back to the school, and I'm going to talk to the officials there, and I'm going to tell them what you black guys have done here. You built an airplane. The plane flies. And I think that they'll accept you now, not knowing that you have these abilities. Sure enough, Mr. Snyder went back and talked to the Curtis Wright Aeronautical School University directors, and they couldn't believe what Mr. Snyder was telling them, but it's true. And he said, well, he said, if they can build an airplane and the plane flew, why can't we teach them how to fly it so they can fly it as well? And because if we don't teach them, it's a good chance they're going to teach themselves how to fly too. And sure enough, they said, get them in here because one of them is filing a lawsuit against us anyway for discrimination. Mm-hmm. So Coffee Robinson showed up back there at the school, and the school said, we've been informed that you guys built an airplane. The plane flew. We see no reason to keep you out of school because of your race. But we cannot mix you with the general white population here in the school. So we're going to give you private lessons at night on the top floor of this building. So you come here at night, and we'll teach you all the things we can teach you about aviation, and if you drop your lawsuit. So they agreed to drop the lawsuit, and sure enough, they showed up, and they stayed there for a little over a year, and they actually learned aviation in record time better than their average white students. And from there, they went on to end up building their Robbins Airport, and that's another story if you want to get into that now or later. Okay.
Well, at this point, we're going to touch on it because we've got the time, but I wanted to tell the audience, yes, you were being very kind to say the black students. At that time, we have to remember the proper term or the term that they use is Negro. And so at that point, there were no Negroes allowed to be admitted to any of the aviation school. And also, I love the way you tell the story, the enthusiasm. I know the story, but I love to hear you tell it every single time. And point of the story is, as I started off and said, those were our black Wright brothers, and they were the ones and so that's something that the youth need to know. The kids don't know that, and these are the stories that I'm so passionate about in allowing or to tell, and it's in all of my books, Stars in the Sky and Stars and Beyond, coloring book for the younger children, and Stars and Beyond, Stories of the Black Aviators. And those books are there, and it's available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. But these are the stories that need to be known. And when I met you and you told me the story, Tyrone, it just was so exciting because I never knew that. And why would we? And like Gigi said earlier, Bessie got her license before Amelia Earhart. We only know about Earhart. I'm trying to put my name in and her name in and getting it mixed up. But we don't know these stories, and we all need to know these stories because it is history. And I'm so happy that you're here to tell the story. And Gigi, getting back to you, I want to, when you tell the audience, you've already said how they do celebrate Bessie over in France, in Rue. But can you tell us they're having some special event honoring Bessie, her 100 years. So would you give the audience a little story or introduction as to the events and the that's happening in June, I believe it is.
Yes, in June, June 12th, we will be going to Paris, France to celebrate Bessie Coleman's 100th year anniversary. Her anniversary was June 15, 1921. But because of the pandemic and everything, we had to push it back. So we're going there, and we're going to have events in Abbeville, events in Rue, where Bessie flew over the white pearly sands in the LaCroix. We're going to go to Paris, where she received her pilot license at the Fédération Aéronautique Internationale, and it's just going to be a wonderful event to honor my great aunt, Bessie Coleman.
And to honor black pioneers in aviation, and especially the first African-American, Native American to receive her pilot's license. And what an honor. I'm so glad that you'll be able to attend, to represent, and to keep her legacy going. You're doing a fabulous job of doing that, and I applaud you for all of your efforts, Gigi. Okay, so what I want to do now is, Tyrone, can you give us a little bit, did you say that Robinson is buried in Ethiopia, or is he buried in America?
No, he's buried in Ethiopia. He made Ethiopia his home when he left here. During the time that the airport was in Robinson, with Coffee and Robinson, a representative of the Ethiopian government approached Robinson and Coffee about coming to Ethiopia to teach their people aviation and help them build their aviation industry. And but Coffey made a decision not to go, and Robinson said, "Yes, I will go." And so Robinson went to Ethiopia, and he began training those people, everything he knew about aviation, and they really had to do it rather quickly, because these were the 30s, and there was the threat of the Italians to invade Ethiopia and colonize it for Italy under the leadership of Benito Mussolini, and that did happen. So Robinson wasn't able to complete a lot. He was able to train some pilots, but they still had to acquire new airplanes, and that was difficult for them to do. So their chances of being able to fight an air war against Italy was almost impossible. But Robinson used his skill in flying to run reconnaissance missions in the air and report to the Emperor Haile Selassie and his commanders what was happening with the Italians getting prepared to invade Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And Italians knew about Robinson, and he was marked for assassination any way that they could, because they knew he was an aerial threat to their mission of eventually flying over 300 airplanes in there to bomb Ethiopia in order to take it over the way they did.
May I put hold and continue with the story in a moment, but I see that we have Patrick coming in from Ghana. So let me bring him in, if you would, to be able to just have his comments. Hello, is this Patrick?
Hello, Miss Cassie.
Hello there. Hello. Well, we're glad that you were able to join us. And you are calling from Ghana. And at this moment, could you give us your comments on the importance of International Black Aviation Day, and also the importance to you and the students in aviation academies in Ghana? Oh, we dropped him. We're having technical difficulties with that, but it seems like we dropped that call. But we will get back to him. Let me see if this is someone that would like to speak. Hello, this is Casey. This is the Fly Girl Show. Would you like to make a comment? Okay. Then this person is just on hold. They may just want to listen. We never know if anyone wants to make a comment or listen. So with that, Tyrone, if you wouldn't mind, can you continue with talking about Robinson?
Yes. So Robinson began to teach. He began to run reconnaissance missions. And then when the Italians began to invade Ethiopia by dropping bombs, gas bombs on those people, killing them by the hundreds of thousands, they eventually were able to defeat the Italians. And I think it's important to remember, too, that this is not the first time Italy tried to invade Ethiopia. Back in the 1800s, they tried that also, but they actually lost the battle against Ethiopia. I think it was in the 1890s when they went to war with Ethiopia with the object of colonizing Ethiopia for Italy. But they lost that battle. So they had two real reasons, as I know it, for invading. That was to get revenge for what happened in 1890s when they lost the war against Ethiopia. And also they wanted to take over that country in order to recover the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, and according to religious history, is the box that carried the Ten Commandments that's supposed to be hidden somewhere in Ethiopia secretly, and only the Ethiopian people know where its whereabouts. And Mussolini was going to make them tell him where that box is, and make it a gift to the Pope of Rome, for whatever reasons. But I think it's important to remember that as well. But anyway, they were successful in invading Ethiopia in 1935, and the Emperor and John Robinson and many of their top leaders had to flee the country. Most of them went to England for safety there to try and see if they can figure out a way to recover their country. Robinson made his way. He went with them to Britain, but then he left Britain and went came home to the United States. He came back to America, and he began to setting up an aviation school here with his old buddy, Cornelius Coffey. And but then they just Coffey was already established, so Coffey decided they decided to just work together but have separate schools, two schools instead of one. Robinson befriended a very wealthy woman by the name of Annie Turnbull Malone, who was the real first richest black woman in America, who had she made cosmetic products for black women like another famous woman. And Robinson became offered to become her personal pilot to take her around the country to promote her business. And if in exchange for her giving him space in her school to teach people how to fly airplanes and how to maintain the mechanical aspect of the airplane. So he went to work for Annie Turnbull Malone for a few years. And later on, World War II broke out, and the United States was able to help Ethiopia regain its independence away from the Italians. And during World War II, the American and the British forces went into Ethiopia and ran the Italians out of there. And they got the they put the emperor back on the throne. And one of the first things the Emperor Haile Selassie did was call the United States and told Johnny Robinson, we're back in control of our country. We want you to come back and finish the work of building our aviation program like you agreed to do. And that's exactly what Robinson did. Robinson headed back to Ethiopia, and he stayed there, and he died there. And I don't know if we have time to tell a story about how he died. I do know that story as well.
Okay, I'm going to come back to you because I want to give Gigi another opportunity because I want to ask her another question. So your stories are so interesting. We could talk forever. We're going to have to call you back and have you, Tyrone, tell us and give us another history lesson because it's really fascinating. I want to ask Gigi another question. Gigi, did you happen to know all these years when you have been, you know, promoting your great aunt, did you know that France had a celebration for her every year, or is this something that you just recently were found out about? Okay, I don't know. I guess we're having difficulty. Gigi, are you there?
Yes, this is something I just found out about.
Okay.
The reason I went over in August was because they named the classroom after Bessie Coleman.
Okay.
And
oh
so
my
it was
goodness!
Just an honor to be there.
Oh, okay, I'm so sorry. People are calling in, trying to get in. They're enjoying the show so much. They're calling in. Can you repeat that for me? Because I didn't hear it. What did you just say? You just recently found out about it, correct?
Yes, I recently found out about it. And the reason I went over in August is because they named a classroom, a school, aviation classroom, in honor of Bessie Coleman. And so that's why I went over there. And when I went over there, they gave me the France flag, and all the dignitaries from the mayor to the lieutenant governor, and they all signed it, and everyone from the school in Abbeville and Rue. And so what I think I'm going to do is donate that particular flag to the Smithsonian, the Black Smithsonian, so that they can have that in their museum.
Oh, well, Bessie would be so proud of you to continue on with her legacy, and because she is so important to aviation, and I'm so happy that you are going on. You do, you go around the country and do reenactment. Is that correct?
Yes, I go around the country and I tell Bessie Coleman's story. I just was in Palm Springs, California at the Air and Space Museum. Greg had me out there, Greg Kennedy, who's the Executive Director of Education, and it was a wonderful experience. We had a standing room crowd. Chauncey Spencer was there with his Traveling Aviation Museum. And it was just wonderful. And it was a dedication to the Tuskegee Airmen scroll some of the original Tuskegee Airmen from the L.A. chapter was there, and it was such a wonderful experience to meet them. And the gentleman who does a lot of the murals in all the aviation museums, he was there, and he did a portrait of Bessie Coleman for their museum and also for the Air and Space Museum in San Diego.
Let me put you on hold because Africa's calling and we're going to try to get, they have technical issues trying to. So let me see if I can bring Patrick in while while the connection is good. I want to come back to you, though, Gigi, so you can complete the story on your visit. So hello there again. Patrick, is this you?
Yes, Miss Cassie. Can you hear me?
Okay, we'll try it again. I see that you've been making attempts and it keeps failing. So while the connection is good, can you just give us a little introduction about how Ghana is helping or and supporting International Black Aviation Day?
Okay, Miss Cassie, thank you so much. First of all, I want to say a very big thank you to you, Miss Cassie, for the opportunity given to me, and also happy Black History Month to everyone. And I'm so happy and excited to be part of the IBAD celebration. And I'm an aviation lecturer instructor in Ghana, and what we do is we train aviation students to become future aviators and all that. But you know, it surprises me that most of these students don't really have history about, you know, aviation, as to, you know, our forefathers who paved the way for us to get into the aviation industry today. So what we're doing in Ghana is that we are promoting IBAD big time to all the youth in Ghana, for them to know the brain behind, the aviation history, or the brain behind the first female flight attendant of Delta Airlines and all that. So I think it's a very great experience for us over here to come on board to support this great initiative, IBAD. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, and hopefully you've been able to enjoy the stories. Mr. Haymore has just given us a really wonderful history lesson, and as I said, the reason we are trying to make it well-known or bring it to everyone's awareness, why I say international, is because we do have Europe honoring Betsy Coleman. France is honoring Betsy Coleman. It's done it for years. And as Gigi just said, she wasn't really aware of it till recently. I never knew it till Gigi told me, of course, and I think it's wonderful that we have that tie and that connection, because Black aviation is universal, and we need to honor all of our great aviators who've made wonderful accomplishments. And I'm so pleased that Ghana is honoring and celebrating February the 16th with us, and I really appreciate you, Patrick, for introducing it and definitely supporting International Black Aviation Day, in which we say is IBAD. So I love that acronym, IBAD. So with that, we're coming to a close, and is there anything else, Patrick, you would like to say before I go back? I want Gigi to finish her story, and then I would like Tyrone to end the show for me. So is there anything you would like to say?
Okay, so what I want to say is that we should all hands on deck, we should all come on board to support this great initiative. IBAD is going to really create a very big opportunity for all the world, because since we have celebrating Wright Brothers Day and all that, it's very, 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 very great for we African-Americans to also have a day to honor our great, 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 great personalities who have, you know, contributed into the aviation industry. So all hands on deck, let's all push it and support it. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And you have a happy Valentine's Day and a wonderful day. And I am going to bring Gigi back in. I want you to finish your story. You were wrapping up the celebration that you just had in Florida. So can you recap that? I think we have probably about six more minutes. I want to give you a little time, and I want to go back to Tyrone.
Well, I just want to say I really had a wonderful time in Palm Springs, California, at the Air and Space Museum. They treated me very nice, and they really honored Bessie Coleman there and all other African-Americans in the museum. And so we had a standing room crowd, and it was just a wonderful experience. And if anyone wants me to come out to their museum and tell Bessie's story, just look at my website. I'm on Facebook, and I would love to come out and tell her story. Thank you.
Give them your website information.
Bessie Coleman Aviation All Stars.
Okay, and did you tell them, give us a brief description or introduction to the All-Stars Academy? You didn't tell us about that.
Oh, yes. Oh, right. The Aviation All started off in 2013. We were a part of After School Matters, and since then, we've just been just doing wonderful things. Our students are learning about aviation history, careers. They know how to fly flight simulators. They're getting their drone certification, their 107, and they're also now, after they graduate, they're going to college, and some of them have already got their private pilot's license and everything. And I'm just so happy that I'm able to introduce aviation to these wonderful students.
Oh, that is just wonderful. And I applaud you for your accomplishments, because it means so much, and that's where it starts. It starts with the young kids, the young adults, our youth, because of them, things will last. Because of them, Bessie's name will be on the lips of all these students, and they have to realize the importance of where it all started. And because of Bessie, here we are. And I so appreciate you telling the story. Once again, like I said, I appreciate you carry on her legacy. I wish you well. And please repeat your website one more time, and then I am going to bring in Tyrone Haymore one more time to close the show out for us.
Okay, my website is www.BessieColemanAviationAllStars.
Perfect. But stay tuned. Go on her website. See where she is going to be appearing and the different lectures or the different events. So it's really a wonderful thing to be in touch with it in aviation. So I thank you so much, Gigi, for joining us, and especially since you just got back in town last night. So I really appreciate you taking the time to join the show today, because it means so much to me. So have a wonderful day, and we will connect again.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Casey. You all take care, and God bless.
God bless. And with that, Tyrone, we have a couple of minutes for you to pretty much, I think, we're not going to get into a new story. I'm going to bring you back so you can give us another history lesson. But it was really important, all the history that you gave my audience on Robinson and his contribution to Ethiopia, which, as I said once again, the importance of international in my launch of International Black Aviation Day. And you painted a beautiful, beautiful picture, and gives us the history of them being our first black Wright brothers, as you told the story and the flight and everything. So is there anything that you would like to say to the audience to kind of sum up and to tell them the importance of International Black Aviation Day to you?
Saying to your audience that we do have a history museum in Robbins, Illinois. We have a Robbins History Museum, and you can go to our website as well. It's called the Robbins. You had to put Illinois in there, because it turned out that there are two Robbins airports in the United States, one in Illinois and one in Massachusetts. So go to our website and as Robbins, Illinois History Museum, Robbins, Illinois History Museum, and it will take you to our website directly. But you need to Google it, and it will take you there. And I do want to make mention of this, that Robbins is the caretaker, is the historical caretaker of the cemetery where most of these people are buried near Robbins. Bessie Coleman, Willa Brown, and a number of Tuskegee Airmen are all buried here near Robbins at the Lincoln Cemetery. And we want people to know that. So when you visit the Robbins Museum, you can also visit the gravesite of Bessie Coleman and Willa Brown. And I see a marker there for Janet Braggs. And the people's, a lot of the people that was involved with getting the aviation, the black aviation program started in America.
And you also have a special event, the flyover. Tell us about the flyover. The Tuskegee Airmen,
well, the flyover,
I know that they
organize
it, but you're always a part of it.
Yes. Every year we honor Bessie Coleman's at a gravesite with a flyover of airplanes from the local Tuskegee Airmen. And we have important and prominent guest speakers, and they have paraphernalia that is available for people to remember and to educate their loved ones and friends, whatever. So it's always it's an annual event that takes place usually around about near Memorial Day. But it's been a while now because of the pandemic has canceled everything for the time being, but we hope that this will get ended soon and we'll be starting it back up. But we do honor these people at the Lincoln Cemetery near Robbins, Illinois.
Well, I think that's wonderful advice. I'm glad you put that out there for everyone because they need to come and see your museum. This is you have taken this upon yourself to organize it, to collect all the different items that's in the museum. And so you thought it was an important contribution to Robbins, Illinois, first of all, and to black aviation history. So I applaud you for doing that. And that endeavor was really a monumental one. How long did it take you to get the museum together?
Oh, our museum has been in existence since 1980.
Okay.
I did not become, it wasn't started by me, but I was one of the younger members of the group at the time, but then the leader died about 5 years later, and then the new president died another 4 years after that, and then there was nobody but me left, so I took it over, and I've had it now since for the last 20-some years,
okay.
And we are in the process of building getting into a new facility that will be five times larger than our current facility.
Okay.
But we do need donations. If anybody there want to help us with some donations, go to our website, to our donation, our GoFundMe page, and support us. We would appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. And it's definitely a cause that needs to be funded and supported. And so for those that are listening, please look for the GoFundMe page and support this wonderful museum. And with that, I am going to close the show out, but I just really appreciate you joining me today and giving us the history lesson. You really helped tie in the international aspect of my wonderful launch of International Black Aviation Day. And so with that, thank you so much, Tyrone, for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay. So for all my audience, I hope that you really, I know you were enlightened. I know that you learned something because my guests are so involved with this, the movement, the black aviation, and it becomes a part of their spirit and their soul. And so it's really something that we love to share. We love to educate. I am going to have Tyrone back on because he has so many wonderful stories to teach you and to tell you about different people that you in black aviation history you may not know. But if you stay tuned, check on my website, check on the Fly Girl Show website, because I always try to bring interesting people to you so you can learn. I also would like to be able to say please help celebrate the International Black Aviation Day, and as I said, I'd love to say the acronym is IBAD. That launch is officially on February the 16th. So for all, spread the word to your schools. Do your own little celebration, but please honor our black pioneers in aviation. And so with that, I am going to close out this show, but I look forward to having many more, and I hope that you will tune in back in with me. So once again, this is Casey Grant, and I am the host of the Fly Girl Show, and I hope to see you again soon. Have a great day. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.